This week, July 21st, 2015, on The Digital Story, the Panasonic Lumix DMC GX8. Cool Apple Watch app for photographers. The ultimate lens guide. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have so many interesting things to cover today. We're going to start out with a weekly update that includes what I consider finally an interesting app for photographers on the Apple Watch. That's kind of fun. And then I have another story that is JPEG related. You'll just have to wait and see what that is going to be, but it is pretty good. And then we're going to talk about a brand new camera from Panasonic, one that punches through the 16 megapixel barrier for Micro Four Thirds, the GX8. We're going to get into that for a bit. The Sigma 24 to 35 art lens. I brought it up last week. I made a guess on the price, and I was pretty darn close. We're going to talk a little bit more about that now that we have some confirmation on that. We have a cool new lens guide from CT Digital Photography. And more, and there is more and more and more. It just goes on and on and on, as long as it ends in about 35 minutes. All right, well, let's get to the top stories of the week. The weekly update. The Apple Watch can be used as a live view remote for the Olympus Air. Petapixel reports, if you're the early adopter type and looking into owning both the Apple Watch and the Olympus Air, here's some good news for you. The two gadgets can be combined into one functional camera system. A new app allows the Apple Watch to be used as the live view display and control interface for Olympus's unusual camera. So now this is pretty neat. I don't have an Apple Watch and I don't have the Air yet. They're not shipping yet, but I'm going to test one as soon as they're available. And in case you missed it, the Olympus Air is a Micro Four Thirds camera that you can hook a mobile device to, such as your iPhone or Galaxy Note, whatever you happen to have, and then use the device to control the Micro Four Thirds camera. That really is about the size of a lens, a Micro Four Thirds lens. And then you can put any lens that you want on the front of this. So the natural lens would be something like the 14 to 42 Easy Zoom, or maybe one of the Pancake Primes, one of those sort of things. So in this very lightweight device, you get Micro Four Thirds resolution. You have apps that can control the camera using your smartphone. And now you can use an Apple Watch to do this. I think this is cool. I have been waiting for something to really get me excited about the Apple Watch. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's a great device. And I've just been hanging out to see that killer app that got me all motivated going, wow, I could really dig that. So now, being able to use the Olympus Air camera with the Apple Watch, where you can get a preview of what the camera is seeing, and you can control the basic functions of the camera all on the watch. Now, you can either keep the watch on your wrist, or you can mount it to the back of the camera and have like this little mini LCD display. I think this is cool, and I'm just thinking, wow, I could just walk around with the Air in my pocket, and if I had an Apple Watch, wearing it on my wrist, pull it out and take pictures and do all sorts of cool stuff. So I'm pretty excited about this. Obviously, I'm going to get my hands on the Air first. We're going to see what happens with the Apple Watch over the coming months. But this is a combination that I think is cool. And finally, I'm starting to feel a little desire for that Apple Watch. In other news, five cameras that can shoot great JPEGs. The Photographer reports, no matter what your needs are, these five cameras shoot incredible JPEGs. So the premise of this piece is that Manufacturers put a lot of work into their secret recipes for JPEGs. JPEGs tend to be very good these days from most cameras, and they are citing five cameras that they think the JPEGs are particularly tasty. So I'm going to give you those five cameras right now. The first one is the Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II. Next is the Fujifilm X-T10, followed by the Canon G1X Mark II, the Sony A7, and the Samsung NX500. So these are five cameras that the Photographer believes produce exceptional JPEGs. Now, I haven't tested all of these cameras myself. I can tell you that the JPEGs from the Olympus OMD series are very good, and I've been shooting more and more with JPEGs, depending on what the situation is. And in fact, I'll even have an article coming out on CT Digital Photography Magazine later this week, where I'm comparing JPEGs and RAWs from the same camera and saying, in a pinch, how does this JPEG look to you compared to these processed RAWs? So anyway, I think it's kind of fun stuff. I just like always questioning, you know, what we're doing, making sure that if our camera has this great capability, in this case, shooting JPEGs, and we're not ever tapping it, is there a good reason why not? Or are we just sticking to some belief that we developed a long time ago? And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, the Panasonic Lumix GX8. Panasonic announced the GX8 that provides the first 20.3 megapixel sensor. That means it provides a maximum resolution of 5,184 by 3,888 pixels in a Micro Four Thirds camera. You know, when Micro Four Thirds first came out, we had 12 megapixel shots. But the camera was so cool, we're going, all right, we can live with that. And plus, in those days, 12 megapixels wasn't terrible. Then we started to feel, 12 megapixels, I could use a little more resolution. And both Panasonic and Olympus raised the resolution to 16 megapixels from the same sensor, Micro Four Thirds sensor. Now we have essentially what I consider a third generation sensor that does 20.3 megapixels. Panasonic is the first to offer it in this new camera, the GX8. And I anticipate that we will see cameras from Olympus that have this resolution and additional cameras from Panasonic. But right now, this very moment, the GX8 is at the top of the heap when it comes to resolution for Four Thirds sensors. So let's talk a little bit more about what else this camera has, because it is not a one-trick pony. So it has a cool tilting electronic viewfinder so that it can periscope up or it can be down. But anyway, you have an electronic viewfinder to look through. You also have a vary angle touchscreen LCD. So, I mean, it flips all the way out. It's a 3-inch, 1 million dot LCD. It records 4K video at both 30 and 24 frames per second. Has built-in Wi-Fi. It has 10 frames per second shooting. Now, here's a big deal with the GX8. I think it has dual image stabilization. Panasonic cameras typically use optical image stabilization, so your lens has to be a stabilized lens. The GX8 has both optical image stabilization and it has sensor-based stabilization. And what's really unique is that it will use those two systems together. So it can use both the optical and the sensor-based together to cover more axis. That is pretty cool. We first saw this dual IS system with the GX7. GX8 has evolved it even further. They have a mechanical focal plane shutter that goes up to 1 over 8,000 of a second, as well as a top flash sync speed of 1/250th. And they have an electronic shutter function that tops out at 1 thousandth of a second, so better enable working in bright conditions with wider aperture settings. Also a built-in jack for an external mic. Now it weighs just over a pound. It's 5.2 inches wide. It's a rather large camera. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Scheduled for release on August 16th at $1,197. So there are the facts. Let's talk about the other parts of this camera, which is the look and feel and what do we think about it and all that good stuff. I liked the GX7. I thought it came out at a time when there was a lot of competition. I don't think that the GX7 got the attention it deserved, but it was a cool camera and I had a fair amount of desire to own one, although I never bought one. But I certainly wanted one and I got to shoot with them and I liked it a lot. Now, one of the things about the GX7, and this is also true of the GX8, it's a rather large camera for Micro Four Thirds world. I mean, it's hefty, it's beefy, it's kind of wide, it's kind of thick. It has some bulk to it. It does feel good in the hand. And I'll tell you, if you're having a problem with some of these other mirrorless cameras where you just don't feel like you have enough to hang on to, the GX8 will give you plenty to hang on to. It's a nice hefty camera. It's got some weight too. It weighs over a pound. And generally speaking, you're going to use lenses on it that are more of the premium quality, such as the 12 to 35 millimeter f/2.8 Panasonic zoom, you know, those that are, you know, just got some weight. So you're talking about a substantial camera that can handle substantial lenses. Now, it can do a lot of stuff, and this is what's really interesting about this camera. It has multiple ways to compose your images on both the electronic viewfinder and the LCD, and even the electronic viewfinder tilts. So it's tilting, the LCD is articulated, lots of ways to do stuff. Same thing with the image stabilization, as I mentioned. You have optical, you have sensor-based, and you can use them together. It has electronic shutter and mechanical shutter. I mean, they really put a lot of stuff into this camera. We're looking at something that's going to cost $1,200. That is a fair amount. I mean, when you're paying $1,200 for a body, you're going to think about it. You're really going to think about, do I need this? Is this going to be my go-to camera? One of the reasons why I think this could, at least for a while, be the go-to camera for people who shoot mirrorless and Micro Four Thirds shooters in particular is because 20 megapixels. You just haven't had that kind of resolution prior to this camera. So not only do you have all the other features that I talked about, the robust design, pretty good looks, nice grip, able to handle, you know, nice hefty lenses, pro lenses, and you have 20 megapixels of resolution. So I think this guy's going to be a contender. It's going to be interesting to see what public response is, but I like seeing it. I mean, whether I buy one or not, or whether you buy one or not, we need cameras in the mirrorless space that keep pushing the envelope, like this one, like what Sony is doing with its A series, like what Olympus has done with image stabilization on the OMD series, and on and on and on. I just like having these kind of cameras in the mix. I would love to shoot with this one. I hope I can get my hands on it. If I can, when it comes out, I will, and I'll report on it. But in the meantime, it's just good to know that the mirrorless form factor in general is moving forward with cameras like this. Story number two. So we now have pricing and a release date for the Sigma 24-35 f/2.0 Art Lens. I talked about this lens a bit last week. 24-35 millimeter works on full frame cameras, has Nikon, Canon, and Sigma mounts available. Just really sounded terrific. I mean, I'll give you a few more of the features. You know, the aperture range is f2 to 16, has special low dispersion elements, two aspherical elements, super multi-layer coating, hypersonic AF motor, internal focus with manual focusing override, rounded 9-blade diaphragm, and it comes with a Sigma USB dock. So pretty slick lens. But the thing about it is you can have this lens on your Canon, Nikon, or Sigma body, DSLR body. And basically you have a 24mm f2, you have a 28mm f2, and you have a 35mm f2 all at once. So the big question was then, what was the price going to be? And Sigma has been fantastic about pricing on these lenses, and I think they really knocked it out of the park on this one. I was guessing last week between $999 and $1299. Guess what? They announced it since the podcast from last week at $999 for this lens. And it's going to be available allegedly at the end of this month, at the end of July. So I'll tell you, if you're looking for a nice wide-angle zoom that has a constant aperture that covers the basic perspective that we want in a wide-angle zoom, and you shoot one of these three bodies, this one is going to be hard to pass up. Now, we haven't seen the test results from it yet, at least I haven't seen them, but I'm anticipating that if it's like any of the other Sigma Art lenses, it's going to be very good, and a lot of us are going to wish we had this lens in our bag, and especially for commercial shoots when you just need that quality and you need that focal range. Hats off to Sigma. Thank you for keeping the prices down and the quality up. I can't wait to hear more about this lens. Story number three. Okay, so speaking of lenses, I've been working on a project with CT Digital Photography Magazine, and they're doing their first ebook. And this ebook is called The Ultimate Lens Guide, and it's now available. Just now available. I mean, this is breaking news. This is what happens when, you know, the editor has his own podcast. We get to time the release of these things when it's convenient for the podcast. So it's a 65-page ebook that features in-depth tests of more than 20 optics, 50mm, telezoom, and macro categories. So this first lens guide is covering those three categories, 50mm, telezoom, and macro. If you've ever seen a copy of CT Digiphoto, and I know some of you subscribe, I wish all of you subscribe, but I'm just happy that many of you are subscribing to the magazine. You know how crazy they are about their lens tests. I'm looking at these lens tests, I'm reading them month after month, and going, these are so good. I would love to have all of these compiled into one document I could carry around on my iPad, on my iPhone, or read on my computer, so I could reference them whenever I wanted. And, you know, kind of the cool thing about this is, and for me personally, this goes back to the pre-internet days, that when I was a photography magazine junkie, I also had a lot of photo books. And one of my favorite photo books was this guide that came out every couple years that basically had all the current cameras and many of the current lenses and what they were worth, the basic specs on them, the whole deal. And I always bought it when it came out, because when you're shopping on the used market or when you're looking for a good deal on something and you go, you know, I think that's a good deal on that camera body there, then I could look it up and go, yeah, that is a good deal. It'd have all the specs and everything. So I love those sort of guides, those books that pulled a lot of that information together for me. And that's what this feels like to me. That's what The Ultimate Lens Guide feels like. It pulls a lot of in-depth information together on lenses that either you own now, that are on your wish list, or that up the road you may be looking at to buy used and save a lot of money. So anyway, here's the deal for us. And this is just for us. No one else gets this discount right now. Normal price is going to be $9.99 for this guide. We can get it through the end of July for $7.99. $7.99. I have the link in the show notes that'll take you over to the Ultimate Lens Guide page, or you can just go to ctdigiphoto.com and you'll see it there. Either way, the link, you know, the link in the show notes here will get you right to the page that you want. And if you use the discount code, this is all uppercase, CTGUIDE120, CTGUIDE120. When you check out, you'll get the discount and you'll get the ebook for $7.99. The discount code's only going to be good till the end of this month. Then after that, it expires and all bets are off. This is really a fun guide. I like it a lot. I enjoyed working on it. I wrote the editor's note in it. And if you like lenses and stuff like that, by the way, if you go over to the page, it'll show all the lenses that are in the guide. So you can see everything that's being reviewed in the guide and see if it's up your alley. So anyway, that is the Ultimate Lens Guide. Kind of a cool thing being offered by CT Digital Photography Magazine. From the screening room, today's pick is Photoshop CC for Photographers, Camera Raw 9 Fundamentals with Chris Orwig. And Chris, of course, is Mr. Photoshop and Mr. Lightroom. So if you are a little behind the curve on getting up to speed on what's new in Photoshop CC, and you want to know from a photographer's point of view, this title is for you. You can view the intro movie by going over to the Digital Story Screening Room on lynda.com, which is L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. See what Chris is all about. And if you like what he's saying, and if you like what he's going to teach you, and you want to learn more after you look at the free movies, then you can start your 7-day free trial and watch all the movies plus every other title in the library. All right, what else do we have here? I'm doing pretty well this week. I'm kind of blowing through things. I want to talk about two articles that are pretty interesting. The first one is from Red River Paper, and they posted a piece titled "The Epson Pro 3880 versus the Epson SureColor P800. And this is an article, I have the link in the show notes, by Red River Paper. Remember, these guys are printer fanatics. They love printing. They love every aspect of printing, inkjet printing. And they publish on this and some really informative stuff. I love their reviews. So here's what they're doing here. The Epson SureColor P800 is the direct replacement to the Pro 3880. Both are 17-inch wide desktop printers using 9 inks to produce professional quality photography, fine art, and graphic design prints. The two printers are very closely related and share most of the same features. So what they do then is they go on to show you how the newer model, the SureColor P800, compares to the older model, the Pro 3880. So that way you can decide, you know, do you want to get a deal on the older model? Should you spring for the newer model? Or you just want to know what Epson is up to with this new printer, the SureColor P800. It's a terrific article. I love the way they handle these things. And it's right there on their site. I have a link to it, of course, in our show notes. And that's Red River Paper, sponsor of the Digital Story. And they also have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. High quality paper at a discount price. They make the paper, they sell the paper directly to you, and it is fabulous. I have another interesting article for you, and this one leads off with, as ultra-high definition TVs and computer monitors are replacing high definition screens on the market, the new Davis-based company called Sizzlepix is taking this new technology into the realm of print photography. So this is really a background piece on Sizzlepix and what they're doing with their 5K ultra high definition output. And if you've always wondered what Don's about, what Sizzlepix about, all that kind of stuff, we finally have a piece that I can point you to that you can take a look at. It's a nice little article. And again, Sizzlepix, they are also long running sponsor of the Digital Story. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. their ultra high definition output. I mean, as if you could get better than the original Sizzlepix, they somehow have managed to do this. If you want to blow people away, get your favorite image sizzled, put it up on the wall, and just wait for them to comment on what a great photographer you are. Sizzlpix.com. It's like an ultra high definition retina display you can hang on the wall. Well, I think that is going to do it for me this week. Interesting stuff in the camera world. I mean, on one end, we have some neat stuff going on with Sigma and some of the other manufacturers in the DSLR world. I'm seeing these articles all the time saying that DSLRs are on the outs, mirrorless are on the outs, all that. None of them seem to be on the outs for me. I just love the innovation that's happening in both camps. And I'll tell you, the Sigma lens is pretty exciting. And the new Panasonic camera that raises the megapixels up to 20 is also pretty darn exciting. And I can't wait to get my hands on the Olympus Air. So fun stuff in the works. I've got lots more going on. Make sure you come back next week and join me. Have a fantastic week in the meantime. Until then, bye-bye now.